Life and make Well, what a great truth. Amen. His way is perfect. His way is best. And I'll tell you, every time we try to interject our way and our will, we always get it messed up. If we'll just trust Him, He's faithful. Thank you for that good song. Thank you, choir. I'm enjoying the music. I'll tell you, it's a blessing. It's refreshing. I'll tell you, it's what people need to hear, the kind of music we've heard this week. And I think many people desire to hear it. I'm sure it happens here like it does at home. Every once in a while, someone will show up at our church and they'll say, well, I just came because I hadn't heard any hymns in a while. Hadn't heard any of this kind of music in a while. And I want to say, well, get out of where you're at. Amen. One fellow and his wife came and he said, you know, my wife had to quit the choir. Actually, they asked her to leave because they were going to start doing some choreography. And he said, you know, we don't fit in there anymore. And I said, then why do you stay? Well, I've been in the same Sunday school class. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what, I'd go where I'd get the truth. Amen. I would go where I'd get the truth. But we had a doctor and his wife came by. Their church didn't have service on a Sunday night. So they came out to our church and visited. And after the service, his wife came up to me and said, I want you to compliment your young people on the way they were dressed tonight. Your choir, as your young people's choir sang tonight. She said, I've been saying to our pastor, you need to say something about this kind of stuff. Said, man, our people are coming like they're going to a picnic and a rodeo and anything goes. And he said, well, you can't preach about that kind of stuff. She said, I'm going to go home and tell him you can preach about it. And that I've seen it work. And young people will do right. But it's good to know that, you know, even sometimes people on the outside looking in, they know what's right. Fact is, I think you could ask the world, many of them have a pretty good idea on a whole lot of things that are right and wrong. I was sitting in public school when I was in high school, and they had an assembly. And you know what assemblies are designed for if you ever went to public school? I don't really know what they're designed for, but for me, it was a break from class. But anyway, I went to the assembly, and they brought out this group, and they were singing. It wasn't even what now would be called by the terminology of the week, gospel rock. It wasn't anything like that. They sang regular secular rock music. They did a few songs and said, we want you to come tonight. We're putting on a concert. Tonight we're going to introduce you to our manager. His name is Jesus Christ. And that's how they ended it. And as soon as the assembly was over, man, young people just started coming around me saying, hey, that isn't right, is it? These guys aren't Christians, are they? They don't represent Jesus Christ, do they? I'm talking about unsaved kids in the public school knew there was something wrong with what those guys were selling. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It does make a difference what you believe. Man, this is refreshing. I love it. I just want to compliment you because, you know, sometimes we do what's right to do and we know it's right to do it, but it's kind of encouraging to know that there are others who still like to see this kind of music. Thank you for it. It's refreshing. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. I have really been enjoying getting to fellowship with your pastor and his wife, Miss Graham. We've enjoyed getting better acquainted and enjoyed the food. Of course, Baptists, define fellowship. It always involves food. And so we've had some good meals together, and I've really appreciated just getting to know him and know his heart. And I know the testimony of your church for many years. It's just exciting to see what God is doing here. And it's a joy for us to be here. Mark chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse number 35. The Bible said, in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, again, we'd ask for your power and your anointing and, Lord, for your direction as we preach tonight. May you be glorified in all that's said and done, and we'll give you the thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We come to this passage of Scripture, and I would say as we read verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. In reality, that's all they needed to hear. Now, they're going to go through a storm, and we're going to talk about what comes as a result of them going through this storm and perhaps some lessons not only that they learned but that we can learn. But you know, in reality, if the Lord has given us His Word, we don't have to doubt it regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of what we face, one of the things we know, for instance, that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you can mark it down. Heaven is your home. Say, well, preacher, I don't know all that's going to happen, and I realize we don't know. One songwriter said, I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And the reality is, we don't know all the details. We don't know all the things that would happen. Fact is, I'm glad that I don't know everything that's going to happen in life. Life sometimes offers some blessings, but boy, it sure offers some burdens sometimes. Sometimes there are happy days, and sometimes there are heartaches that come. And if we knew everything in advance, if we knew every detail of what might happen in the future between now and eternity, it might be to us overwhelming. God gives us His grace day by day. But He says to them to get in the ship and go the other side. Number one, notice the command of the Savior. As Jesus says to them to get in the ship and go to the other side, we notice the promise of their safety. I want you to understand, it's not about me holding on to Him. It's about Him holding on to me. Somebody said, Brother Graham, this thing about your security as a believer, are you trying to say with some kind of arrogance that you're so good that there's no way you could lose your salvation? No, I'm going to tell you, God is so good, there's no way I could lose my salvation. Now let me say tonight, if you've never been saved, you don't have eternal life. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you've never been born again, if you've never experienced, I mean, true biblical new birth, you're not saved, but if you've been saved by the grace of God, you can mark it down. He has given you the assurance, the promise of His Word. We're going to the other side. Notice the promise of their safety. He said, let's get in the ship and go to the other side. But then we notice the presence of the Savior. You know, you get in the ship, that's exciting, but even more exciting, He went with them. We read in this account, it's interesting, the Bible said, and as Jesus had commanded them to go in the ship, when He sent sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. I like that phrase, they took Him even as He was. I would say this, that the only way you can take Christ is just as He is. The world is trying to redefine Him, and many today are trying to change the Word of God and somehow try to make God fit into our thinking and make God fit into our agenda and make God fit into our program. And somehow we have in mind that, you know, we just have the right to adjust and shift wherever we want to, but really we got to take Him as He is. And that's exactly how they took Him. That's how you need to take Him. That's how we need to receive the Lord. It's not on our terms, it's on His terms. You know, I've had people say to me, well, you know, I'll get saved when I'm ready. Well, it doesn't work like that. Now, folks, I want you to understand, I'm not preaching some kind of a foreign doctrine, but you don't get saved on your terms. You don't set the time and you don't set the place. It's going to take the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, when the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you, it's time to pay attention. It's not time to say, well, I'll get ready, I'll get saved when I'm ready. Listen, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. And as they take Him into the ship, they are obeying what He said. And so far, so good. I mean, Jesus said, let's get in the ship and go the other side. And I'm sure their expectation was that everything was going to be wonderful. The very first time I had the privilege to go to Israel, we took a boat ride across the Sea of Galilee. And man, that was exciting. And I was asked to preach while we were out on the ship, and I was looking forward to it. And they'd asked my wife and I to sing right before I preached. And we had planned to sing a song about peace be still. And so we were excited about it. When we got out on the boat, normally when we take a group, and this was my first time, but your group would be the only one on the boat. But there was a group of Catholic folks that got on the same boat that we did, and of course they had told them, now they're going to have a service. They said, oh, that's fine. And so just a handful of them, so they rowed on the same boat as we did, and we got out there just a little ways, and all of a sudden, and I mean suddenly, just like it happened in the Bible, a storm came rolling in on the Sea of Galilee. Now, we did have a motor on our boat if we needed to get out of there, but I'll tell you, it was kind of interesting. Our crowd was so excited, they thought, look what the Lord's done for us. We got a storm. This is great. I mean, a couple of the guys thought they might as well try to walk on water. They were so excited. These guys were from up around St. Joe, so you know they were thinking wrong. But anyway, so we got out there, and boy, the storm was just going, and the ship was tossing, and it came time to have the service. And so as we got ready to sing the song, and I'll tell you, it was hard to stand up, so I'm holding on to a post, and my wife is holding on to me, and we're trying to sing the song. And as we begin to sing the song, "He Can Say Peace Be Still," all of a sudden it just came a calm, and everything settled down, and the sun started shining again, and we went on and preached the message. Had a wonderful service. Got to the other side, and the Catholic priest made this comment. He said, "I'll tell you one thing. I believe it was the prayers of you Baptists that got us safely to the other side." He said, "I was scared." I'll tell you, for our storm, it was very small compared to what these men went through. But you know, on the Sea of Galilee, though it's not a large body of water, it's not uncommon for storms to come off of the mountain there. There's a passageway there called Mount Arabella. It's very, very quickly a storm can come. It can look like everything's fine, and all of a sudden it would hit. And sure enough, as they're out there, we see the challenge of the storm. The Bible begins to tell us that as they had made their journey, as they got in the ship, as they were headed along, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I'm going to tell you something about this storm. First of all, it was bewildering. That they weren't expecting it. I mean, if Jesus says, "Let's get in the ship and go the other side," I think that our mind would think, "Wow, this is going to be smooth sailing." I mean, we got Jesus with us, and He said we're going to the other side. Surely nothing could go wrong. And yet we find that they're in the midst of a very bewildering storm. You know, having a storm in life is sort of like a surgery. You know, somebody said, "Well, they're having surgery. It's a minor surgery. It's minor if it's not you. It's major if it's you." The storm may seem minor to some, but to these men, they're in the thick of it. They're bewildered by it because it was unexpected. It was beyond their ability to handle it by themselves. As they get in the storm, and I'm sure that they begin to try to do everything they could to prepare and even try to somehow deal with the issues at hand. The Bible said that as they were in the ship and the waves are beating against it, the Scripture said so that it was now full. I imagine that they're trying to bail water out as fast as it's coming in, and it's not getting anywhere. It was beyond their ability. And by the way, let me say, in life, there are going to be storms. There's going to be battles. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be things that will come in life that we don't understand. But I want to remind you, dear friend, it's not you and it's not me that's going to be able to handle the storms of life. We're going to have to trust in the one who has given us the commandment to go to the other side. We're going to have to trust the one who has told us that He has a plan for our life. And even if we don't understand what's going on, we can trust Him. Amen. He's ever faithful. And I'll tell you something else. This storm was brutal. As we read about it, it was a violent and volatile storm. I'll admit to you that there's nothing exciting about being in a storm. There's nothing thrilling about being in a severe storm or being in a tornado or being in those kind of events. I have no doubt about it. That's not something any of us look forward to going through or having to face or to deal with. And what a brutal attack it was. And when the storms of life begin to rage in on you and you begin to deal with those circumstances that you didn't expect, that you weren't thinking about, that you hadn't saw on the horizon, man, a young couple stands in front of the church and the preacher begins to ask them questions as they're getting ready to get to their marriage taken care of. And the preacher says things like, you know, do you promise to, be true to her? And does she promise to be true to you? And they'll make statements like, for better or for worse. Well, I can tell you right now, nobody's standing down there going, man, I hope it gets worse. For richer or poorer. Now, that's what I'm longing for. Let's get a little poorer in this deal. And you know the list of all the things that they ask. And the truth of the matter is, we agree. Yeah, of course, I'll take a richer, poorer, sickness, health. We're for that. And I believe we mean that. But in the back of our minds, we're not thinking, we're not considering, we're not wondering, we're not even perhaps even giving thought to what could happen. And I'm not trying to make you nervous tonight. I'm not trying to scare you tonight. But I'm simply saying this, dear friend, oftentimes life will hand us things that we didn't expect, that we didn't think we would ever go through, that we never thought our life would experience. Somehow we thought we were living in a way that perhaps we were protected from ever facing a storm. But I want to remind you tonight that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. I'm telling you, there are going to be times in life when the storms are going to come up on the horizon of your life. And you'd better realize you can't handle it by yourself. We see the command of the Savior and the challenge of the storm. But notice thirdly, the consideration of the servants. Now, I've already mentioned the reality of storms. They do happen. Nobody likes them. Nobody looks forward to them. Nobody wants to go through them. Nobody says, man, I hope I face another storm in life. The reality is storms do happen. I was preaching in Illinois in a meeting and was just getting ready to head for home. And I got a phone call and there was a tornado that was in our neighborhood. We have tornadoes like you do here in Arkansas. They're an often event. But where we live at, they're not as typical to hit there. Typically, they'll follow the river and they'll hit an area in our community that I wonder why people keep rebuilding there, because that's where they keep going. But this particular one settled in our neighborhood. And as I was making my way home, my wife had to go. My son's car was in the shop, and so she had to go pick him up from work as the tornado hit. She's trying to drive home. Trees are falling down in front of her. The rest of them are trying to get in safety at the house, a few that were there. And of course, she's trying to get home, unable to get home one way, had to go another. And they got in and hunkered down. I came in, but by the time I drove in, it was early morning and it looked like a war zone. If you've seen tornadoes, you know what I'm talking about. Throughout our community, you could see houses that had been destroyed and properties that had been hit. And I'm driving by families from our church and seeing the devastation to their homes. And our own house, thankfully, was not hit hard. We had to replace our roof and had a few things tore up around there, but not as bad as some of the others had suffered. And thankfully, no one was injured, no one was killed, anything like that at that particular tornado. But as I came through there, I was reminded once again, I left expecting to come home without any problems, only to find there were things that my family was facing and that we were facing in the days ahead and people in our church that we would not have expected just a couple days before. Why? Because the storms do come, friend. No matter who you are, you better be aware they can happen. But then the reason for the storms, why do we have to face the storms in life? Well, I think there are many reasons, but one thing's for sure, it'll build our faith. You know what Jesus said about these men? Now, there were times when Jesus said about his disciples they had little faith. But here he said they had no faith. Now, I believe that many of these men obviously knew the Lord as their Savior, but I believe Jesus was saying that somehow they had given up any hope of ever making it through. I don't know if you've ever been to that place in your life. You know you're going to heaven. You know that you've got eternal life. But that particular storm has got you pinned down so much that you don't even have the faith to believe that God is able to take care of you. But I want to remind you, our God is faithful. And child of God, for you and I that are saved, we don't have to fear the storm, though they may rage. Look at the rebuke of the storm. Jesus began to speak to the storm and said, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Jesus spoke peace and muzzled the storm, put a stop to it. And I'm telling you, the elements of life are out of our control. But there is one that can control things. And I'm trusting in that unseen hand that can take care of me and you in the storms of life. Then I want you to notice some reminders in the storm. You know, there's some things we need to remember. I would remind you, you're not alone. Nobody goes through a storm all by themselves. So, well, preacher, I was at the house, nobody else was there. Well, if you're a child of God, you're not by yourself. I would remind you, first of all, the Savior is with you. Aren't you glad for the faithfulness of Jesus Christ? The Savior is with you. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a faithful friend we have in Jesus. What a blessing it is. We sang it, I think, last night. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And we sing songs about, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. You know, the interesting thing about us, I have some great friends in life, and you understand, real true friends are people that get to know you. They know your ups and downs. They know your strengths and weaknesses, and yet they remain a friend. But I'll tell you, nobody knows you like the Lord knows you. We often see each other at our best, but He knows us at our worst. And yet He's a faithful friend. He's true. He's there. Oh, no wonder the songwriter said, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Aren't you glad for that wonderful relationship? The Savior is with you. Now, Jesus is in the ship. The Bible said that He is sleeping in the ship. And, of course, they run down, "Master, carest Thou not that we perish?" And you know, it's interesting, He could sleep through the storm. But what I think is interesting is Jesus is called to attention by His disciples. I don't mean this wrong. It seems like that they'd have moved a little quicker in His direction. You know, it's amazing. I don't know this. The Bible doesn't give a lot of detail, but I wonder if in the beginning when this storm came on the horizon, if someone said, "Well, let the Master sleep. After all, we know how to handle storms. We've been on this sea before." But I mean, in just an instant, it was beyond anything they could handle. And let me just remind you, folks, sometimes we get in storms, and in the beginning, we think, "I've got this. I can handle it." And it may be sometimes God puts us through storms for discipline. Now, I'm not saying every time. By the way, it's interesting to me. I heard a guy on the radio one day, and he was, not of our persuasion, but I was listening as he made his closing comments, and he had said something in the message as I turned the radio there, and it caught my attention. He said that people who are sick because they're living in sin. Now, I do believe that sickness came as a result of original sin. But he said, if you're sick today, it's because you've got sin in your life. And then he closed out his broadcast by saying, "Folks, I want to ask everyone to pray for me. I'm having some difficulty with my throat. I'm not feeling well today." And I went, "Sinner!" Now, by the way, sometimes God does send things for discipline. Maybe we've stepped out of His will and God uses things to correct us. But can I say, storms are not always because God has to discipline us. Sometimes God just wants to direct us, point us in a different way. Sometimes God just wants to show how much He delights in us and wants to bring us through the storm so that we know we can depend on Him. But whatever the reason is, I would remind you that the Savior is with you. You're not alone. But I'll tell you something else, you're not alone. The Bible said not only because the Savior's with you, but because other ships are with you. Did you notice what He said here? When they got ready to leave in verse 36, it says, "And He took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with Him other little ships." Now, I'll tell you, we need to realize when we go through the storms that we're not alone. There's other ships. Now, I don't know who He's referring to in your life or mine, but I'd like to just make a thought here. Those other ships that were in the storm were called the He said here that there were other little ships. But I'm glad He didn't say there were insignificant ships. Do you know God cares about the little ones? as much as he does the big ones. It's interesting to think about this. I thought, well, maybe the other ships might be when we're going through a storm. Let me remind you, sometimes we get in a storm and we think it's all about us. But you know, when I go through a storm, I got to remember my companion, my precious wife, is going through the same storm. And I can't forget that God has not only brought me into this storm and brought me to the storm and even brought me through the storm, but I need to remember my companion while I'm in this storm. You know, sometimes people will go through a storm in life and they're not careful. You'll see their marriage fall apart. You'll see them drift apart. You'll see them start blaming each other. And instead of turning to the Lord for help, they let the storm destroy their ships. I'm telling you, we need to be careful. Watch out for our companion. Watch out for our children. Listen, I want to tell you, Mom and Dad, you go through the storm, your children are watching you. Well, it's easy to praise God on the mountaintop when everything's going good. When we hit those valleys, and I'm not talking about putting on a facade, I'm not talking about being a pretender, but I'll tell you, if you're gonna help your children know there's a God in heaven, they need to see that God's real in your life. Mom and Dad, they need to know that God answers your prayers, that God has worked in your home, that God has worked in your heart. They need to see that. And listen, our co-laborers that we serve together in the Lord, they need to be encouraged as we face the storms. You know what? Sometimes watching somebody else go through the storm will help strengthen our life when we face a storm. Well, I remember this one went through it, and that one went through it, and I saw how God met their need. And Lord, I'm in a storm now, and I want you to help me like you helped them. You know, there may be other churches across this country of like faith and practice who may be in storms, and folks, or they may be just watching us in a storm. And as a church, we need to be a testimony to other churches to say, hey, listen, what we've been preaching and what we've been proclaiming, we're going to practice. Our God is faithful, even in the midst of the storm. The storms of life are raging, the songwriter said, stand by me. You see, there are many who are watching our response. Their failure or success, their overcoming and victory or defeat may often be affected by our own response in the storm. Mom and Dad, if you quit, what's it going to do to your children? You throw in the towel, Dad, what's that say to your wife? You give up, what's that say to your family? You give up, what does that say to your lost loved ones that you've been trying to witness to and try to see them come to Christ? What does it say to them when all of a sudden you've been telling them how good God is and how wonderful it is to be a Christian, and then you hit a storm in life and you blow up and you get out? What does that do? We need to pay attention how we respond in the storms of life. Nobody likes to go through storms, but they happen. It may be the illness storm. Maybe you've got some sickness in your family. Maybe in your own flesh. Maybe you're dealing with not sickness. Maybe you're dealing with some other problem that nobody knows about. Maybe some storm of financial reversal. Maybe some storm where you've got a rebellious child. Maybe some storm that's come into your life and you don't understand why. It is not quitting time. It's continuing on time. It's stand up for Jesus time. It's going about your Father's business in the midst of your storms. And then we notice the rejoicing in the storm. The Bible said they feared exceedingly after Jesus had said, peace be still. And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, the storms of life will come. Psalms verse 30 and part of that verse 5, I think the latter part said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There is a rejoicing in the storm. Sometimes we'll see great victories come that we would have never known had we not experienced a storm. Sometimes we'll see great blessings and even see God work in ways, and there are some things that we may not know till we get to heaven. Exactly what God was doing, but I will tell you this, God doeth all things well. He's faithful. You can trust Him. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to give up. You don't have to say, well, you know, that all sounds good, preacher, but you just don't know how deep the storm is. I tell you, storms can be very deep, and they can be very dark, and they can be very devastating. But I would remind you, church, that God is faithful. The storms may be physical storms. They may be family storms. But I want to tell you something. We have a faithful God who will guide us through every single step of the way. And we can trust Him. Even when we don't see what's going on, and even when we don't understand what's going on, it's not time to quit. It's time to keep on serving Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father,